This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports.
All right, we were heavy on college football in the first hour of the program. Going to be heavy on the NFL here in the second hour as we welcome you back into this Football Friday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel out there at Circus Sportsbook in Vegas. I'm a Circus Sportsbook out here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mint Gaming Hall, rolling along from coast to coast almost out here, JVT. How's the book out there today? Is it as flashy and sparkly as mine?
Yes, absolutely. It is absolutely fantastic. Everybody's here getting ready to watch what is now, hoops now take center stage. And today's a good basketball day. Got a lot of top 25 teams in action later this evening. So looking forward to it. Now it's our time to shine. College basketball, the NBA, get this football out of the way. Now we get to focus on the real sports.
The real sports. And we talked with Mike Palm earlier in the first hour of the program about a little hockey as well, with the Olympic break coming up for all of those NHL players. The official rosters have been set, Team Canada, Team USA. So that'll be fun to have in addition to the NHL, NBA. Speaking of which, we'll get into a little NBA as well this hour. Great day for your boy Kawhi yesterday, but hold off. Hold your affection. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. I want to start with the monster doubleheader that we have on Saturday in the NFL. And we were discussing this last segment with our guy Dave Ross, host of VSiN by the Books, whom I love and whom I typically agree with on a lot of things. But I'm not sure I can buy into his thought process on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. They just really haven't done anything to make me believe that all of a sudden things are going to change in week 18. So they are laying 2.5 threes largely across the board here against the Carolina Panthers. They are at home in Tampa. Panthers win and they're in. They win the NFC South. They're in the postseason. For the Bucs, win and you still need the Falcons to lose to the Saints on Sunday. But despite all of the issues that both of these teams have, JVT, pretty phenomenal that they are in this position for week 18.
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to attempt to use your own logic against you here and see if you can squirm out of this corner. What changed? Tampa Bay, when they played each other 2 weeks ago, was a 2.5, 3-point road favorite. And now here we are. It is just 3 in favor of Tampa Bay at home. This is an adjustment, and it's quite an adjustment from an NFL standpoint. So with this change, is this too much? Should we be betting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whom the market thought was about 5 points better on a neutral just 2 weeks ago?
I don't know, because I didn't agree with the market that day either, right? Like, I liked Carolina in that spot, and I think that there are question marks still about what this Buccaneers team is going to be able to field. And we heard Dave bring up Tristan Wirfs' name. We still don't know on his availability in this. When he plays, they tend to win. When they don't, he tends to lose. And there's questions about Clyde Jakansi as well, which could be a big addition for them if they are able to get him back. He's missed almost the whole season, but reportedly a chance for him to come off injured reserve with a playoff spot on the line, officially questionable as of right now. A couple other injury updates for you while we're going down this road. For Carolina, their guard Robert Hunt, who's been out since week 2, he is somebody they're hoping to get activated this week from injured reserve as well. Questionable as of now. They could also activate wide receiver David Moore. Linebacker is a bit of a concern here without Trayvon Wallace. Claudin Chiroulis has been ruled out. Chris Barnes, another rotational guy, ruled out. So there are a few of those in the linebacker room that would be a concern. All of that to say, I do lean Panthers here. And I think a lot of this is going to be on the shoulders of Bryce Young and what he's able to do. According to PFF, JVT, in Panthers wins this year when Bryce Young has started, 8 wins this season. On 10-plus yard throws, he has a 91.9 pass grade, completing nearly 56% of those throws. In the 7 games he has started and the Panthers have lost, that passing grade drops to 41, and he's completing less than 34% of those deeper ball throws. First meeting with Tampa, he was hitting them. And I think that's going to be a really key piece of this. He was 5 for 11 on 10-plus yard throws, 2 touchdowns on those throws, 4 big-time throws. Can he replicate that again on the road in a gotta-have-it spot?
Yeah, a couple of points really quickly. This came down in the last 50 minutes. Robert Hunt will not be activated for this game, so he will not be available for the Carolina Panthers. And Tristan Wirfs did tell the media that he was...
That doesn't change anything, though. Like, he hasn't been available, but it just would have been nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for some clarity for our audience, too. And then for whatever it's worth, you're right. Officially, nothing on worse. He told the media that he was going to play, so we'll see what that actually means by the time we get to this game. Look, I wanted to turn it on you to, you know, because do what I do. I agree with you, actually. Like, to me, it's Carolina. Tampa Bay has been one of the worst defensive teams down the stretch here that we have seen in the National Football League. There's a reason why they are the worst ATS team in the NFL. The market is largely, since that hot start, really overvalued what Tampa Bay has been up to this point. Guys are injured, banged up. I don't think that you're at a point right now where you can equivocally say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a better team than the Carolina Panthers. And maybe the argument here, Stormy, is in a gotta-have-it divisional game, we're going to ratchet up home field, and maybe this is worth a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's the case. We've talked about this, this dalliance with 1.5-2 being worth home field. I think these two teams are equals to each other. I think this line should be more like 1.5 in favor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if you're going to give me that full three, I know that you have had these nightmares with the Carolina Panthers. I know that they have come up short in two very big games against the New Orleans Saints. Understand all of that, but I think this Buccaneers team is sliding in the worst way, and they are reaching out to try to find something to grab onto, and I don't think they're going to find it. And I think the Buccaneers are probably going to have their seasons ended this weekend against Carolina. I would agree with you. But who knows? I mean, I can't find much in terms of positivity for Tampa Bay, so I'm assuming that means they just come out and blow out Carolina. But I do think that numbers-wise, you're going to give me three with the Panthers, given the way that both teams are playing right now. I'll take my chance with Carolina.
Panthers have been a pretty good bet in this spot as well. Off a loss, a perfect 7-0 against the spread. Won 8 games this season outright as a dog. They've also, and I know this is a stupid thing, but worth noting, alternated wins and losses since week 7. This week would be a win week, should it happen. But for me, it's just a lot of it comes down to, on the Bucs side, inconsistent. They've been inefficient on offense. I know that the wide receiver group is starting to come together a little bit, and Baker Mayfield threw the ball better last week. But it's just, it's not a team I believe in. Injuries are still playing a role in this thing. So give me the Panthers getting the full field goal, even on the road. How about the nightcap? So Seattle and San Francisco going head to head. Our 49ers one seed tickets live on. So it will be the one seed in the NFC, the NFC West title, all of that coming into play in this one. Some more injuries to get to here with the 49ers. And you can tell me if you've seen any updates on this one. But George Kittle still dealing with the ankle sprain that held him out last week. Officially questionable for Saturday. Told media, though, that he absolutely expects to play. Worth noting, however, though, he has not had a full participant practice logged since suffering the injury. Trent Williams also questionable. Hasn't practiced at all this week. So in my opinion, it would be hard to imagine him out there on a short week. No practice. CMC did come off the injury report. And on Seattle side, Rashid Shaheed, he is still in the concussion protocol. Full participant, though, last day of practice this week. So I feel like that's a good sign he could work his way out of it.
Yeah, you hit on all the points here. We're waiting to see the clarity for all of them at this point right now. But words, at least from them, have said, specifically for Kittle, he's going to go this weekend. The total's down to 47.5, 48. I'm going to be curious to see how low this gets. I think you can make a case for this game to go over the total between these two.
Yeah.
You know, as we mentioned, when you talk about the Los Angeles Rams-Seattle Seahawks matchup on Thursday night, Stafford did a really good job. He was able to find some holes in this defense. They were able to move up and down the field there, average 6.6 yards per play. I kind of trust that Shanahan, with his scheme, is going to be able to move the ball here. The way that this offense has been rolling, it's been very good. Brock Purdy's played very well. And on the other side, as you know, and we've covered this, and every show's covered this, your team's defense, as valiant as the effort is every single day, they're not good. They don't have the personnel to match up here. Jackson Smith-Njigba should be able to do a ton of damage. Sam Darnold should be able to be a little bit more comfortable, not be under pressure, not commit turnover-worthy plays. I think you could probably get this game to go over the total. We'll see how low this gets. Again, down to 47.5 in multiple spots, but I'll be looking for a spot to buy back on the over here. I think you can make a case that a game that some spots had at 50 should probably be a little bit closer to where they opened, and I think you get a little bit more of a higher scoring affair between these two on Saturday night.
I would totally agree. And we talked about this the other day. I feel like odds makers just aren't finding a way to account for how good the 49ers offense is and how bad their defense is. And I get that this is a Seahawks defense that is dynamic and is very aggressive and effective, but I am in total agreement with you. I think the 49ers should be able to make stuff work. And especially with Kittle saying that he's going to work his way into the fold, him being able to not only be a pass catcher, but be a blocker is a very big part of what allows the 49ers offense to operate at the capacity it does. So I'm with you there. I do think, too, because the 49ers defense is so bad, even with all the shortcomings that Seattle's had offensively and everybody having all of these questions about Sam Darnold and is he going to turn into a pumpkin at the end of the year? More so, similar to like he did a year ago, this defense is rough. They cannot get to the passer. They cannot stop the run. They are giving up points at will. We see it week after week. I think even Sam Darnold in an offense that we don't trust should be able to get the work done. So where do you think this thing ultimately closes? As you mentioned, 47.5 right now.
I mean, obviously we always see these late line moves, and you know, interestingly enough, we saw, at least with the Colts game, we saw the market move against them. But we saw that late move on the Colts against the Jags as well. So I think that was more pro-Colts than anything else. I don't know if it's anything against your team. I'll say this closes. It's 1.5. I don't think it'd be the craziest thing if this closes pick by the time we get to Saturday night.
Okay. The 49ers, by the way, just a random fact, and I know some people don't care about these things, but 5-0 outright and 4-1 ATS with the line between either of the threes, whether they've been getting three or laying three, anything in between. San Francisco has done a really good job covering those numbers. Also, and this one's probably more notable, JVT, 6-0 outright, 5-1 ATS since Brock Purdy has come back.
They've been good. I mean, the schedule hasn't exactly been tough, but he's played extremely well. He's obviously a lot healthier at this point right now. Whatever was going on with his foot or heel or whatever it was specifically, he looks like he is really thriving at this point. And, you know, we've seen Seattle kind of show some flaws. And at the very least, even if it doesn't go over the total, this is not a team that you can play with your food with. They've done that a couple of times now. We saw the Atlanta game. We saw the game last week against Carolina. If you're going to find yourself in those scraps, I think San Francisco is good enough to make you pay for it.
All right, so we mentioned the two high leverage games that are coming up on Saturday. There are a couple of note on Sunday as well. Most notably, of course, Steelers and Ravens going head to head on Sunday Night Football. We'll preview that game coming up a little bit later on this hour. But first, when we return, dipping our toe into the NBA waters, especially after another 45-point night for your boy Kawhi. Are the Clippers turning it around? We'll discuss that and the card coming up today next on Money Moves.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the sports betting network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Remember, before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. The NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own. But good news, with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, and locked in on the NFL postseason, the sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights, all delivered straight to your inbox or X feed. Since 2011, they've been backing it up with documented results, public logs, transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason at SharpPlays.com. Do have one game in action right now. The final four of the non-CFP bowl games going on today. And we have the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl ongoing. So for those of you who've been keeping tabs on it, Texas State currently up 17-7, about 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Texas State closed 17.5-point favorite, total 55.5, so looking like an under game. But can Texas State find a way to pull away here? We will let you know. That said, we've been very, very football dominant today, and we got to let our boy JVT cook when it comes to the NBA, especially because the Clippers are on a heater. Six straight wins, my guy.
Six straight wins and covers as well. Let's get that correct. Hey, this team has been absolutely fantastic. Look, there is clearly an unsustainability about winning and covering six straight. I think the question that you alluded to when we were going out is, what is this in the big picture? If you look, just not even these last six games, Stormy, the last 10 games for the Los Angeles Clippers, third best net rating in the NBA, the fourth best offense, the seventh best defense. They're starting to get it. They're starting to turn around. I don't think that we're going to run and say that this team is going to be a group which can win the NBA Finals. But I think for sure this is a threat to make it into the postseason. They'll probably do it through the play-in. There's a lot of different markets you can that you can hit here. But one of the ones that I think I brought up to you earlier in this week when they were, I think, at 4 or 5 wins straight was just to make the playoffs for the Los Angeles Clippers. And at the time you and I brought it up, that number was at about 3-1. Now that is down to 2-1. But I still think that that's worth looking at. They're probably going to be, if they make it into the play-in, one of the more dangerous teams in the play-in, save for... We'll see if the Nuggets slip far enough that they're going to have to play in the play-in with all these injuries that they're dealing with. I don't think that should be the case. But this Clippers team is going to be formidable. And here's the thing, Stormy. They don't want to lose. There is no benefit to them. Their first-round pick this year is in another team's hands. The only thing they can do here is just win so that that pick is not a great pick that they're going to miss out on. So I think the Clippers are going to be a threat down the stretch. They're not going to trade for anybody or anything like that. But they're a threat in the sense of making it inside of the top 10 and making it into the postseason. You know, if they're the 8 seed, probably dispatched by a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you get into like a 7 seed range and you can take on, who knows, at the 2 seed, maybe you can give them a run. But I think your goal here from a betting standpoint is to ask this team just to make the postseason. And at plus 200, I think that's a good wager to add to the portfolio if you don't have anything.
I hope they can. It'll give you good vibes in the studio when we get to the NBA postseason. And for Kawhi, put up 45 plus points now in 2 of the last 3 games after doing that just once previously in his career. So big that he has been able to perform on the offensive side of the ball the way that he has. We thought when they had reeled together the 4 straight wins that maybe they could make it 6 with the Kings and Jazz. They did all of those wins by double digits, but I guess this next stretch coming up, do they get brought back down to earth a little bit here, JVT? They've got Boston, Golden State, the Knicks, Brooklyn, Detroit all coming up in the next 5.
I mean, one assumes that they're going to lose one of those games. I mean, they have to, right? They're going to lose at some point. The question just becomes what? And you mentioned that Boston's been playing extremely well. They might be a team that could be a top 3 team in the Eastern Conference, maybe even a top 2 team when all is said and done. And for Kawhi, you look at this 6-game stretch that he's on, Stormy. He's shooting 53% from the floor. He's shooting 44% from 3. They're very reliant on him. His usage rate is up to 36.5% over this stretch. Well over a third of their possessions are going through him. At some point, even just from that perspective, usage, volume, things like that, that's going to tail off. And when he starts to tail off, what's going to happen? I think you're probably going to see a point here, and maybe even it's Boston coming up for this team, that they probably slip out in their next game up. Boston, as we mentioned, very, very good. Jaylen Brown's been playing at a fringe MVP level themselves. And by the way, because one of these games that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes, there's an award tie to it. Here, too, as well, we talked about this on Harbin Handicappers the other day. If there's an award that you wanted to get involved with, if you didn't really have anything at this point right now, I will tell you that I don't know if there's many better coaching jobs than what Joe Mazzulla has done for the Boston Celtics right now. They've been very, very good. And as we talked about, there's a real chance that this Celtics team, despite the fact that Jason Tatum not available to them, that Jaylen Brown is their best player, that they could finish with a top 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they are just mere, like, I think it's like 0.2 points away, Stormy, from having the best point differential in the Eastern Conference.
Crazy.
This is a crazy coaching job from Mazzulla. And so I think that's a good and interesting tie coming up when they take on the Clippers. He's 11-1 right now to win Coach of the Year, and I think that he can definitely win that thing.
Okay, yeah, that's a great note. Celtics not in action tonight. We do have a 10-game slate upcoming, though. What is the game that you think has the awards tie people should be aware of?
Well, let's talk about Spurs and Pacers. So I don't know if you saw the other day, but the San Antonio Spurs with the ridiculous non-cover against the New York Knicks, where Jalen Brunson, they're down by 5, and the Knicks put up a shot, miss it. Brunson steals the ball, fading away, almost behind the backboard 3, hits it. It falls on 2 in a line that closed 2.5. Spurs get the win. They get revenge in the NBA Cup. But Victor Wembanyama goes down in that game with a tweaked knee. He says he's not going to miss time. Well, he's not playing today, Stormy. So they are 5.5-point favorites on the road against the Indiana Pacers. Total's 238.5. He is not officially eliminated yet, but a lot of these markets have removed him from Defensive Player of the Year. He is not up there right now. The thought here being that, again, he had about 5 games to work with to miss. He's going to miss another one here tonight. It just seems unlikely that with this 65-game minimum that he's going to be able to finish with an award. That's a burn, by the way, because I had him first all-NBA, if you remember that, first-team all-NBA, called it my diet MVP vote. That that is not going to get there because you can't make an all-NBA team if you don't play 65 games either. So I don't really have a thought here. It's just that it's worth diving into this defensive player of the year market now, folks, because it seems like we're removing a piece from the board. And I will tell you this right now. I don't think Chet Holmgren at minus 200 is accurately priced to win this award. If you look at the numbers, the driver defensively in that front court is not Holmgren. It is Isaiah Hartenstein. And so if you actually evaluate this race, there's a couple of guys you can really make the case for. And the one that I've been pounding the drum for has been Rudy Gobert. I've got him at 50-1. Mm-hmm. If you remember when Wembanyama first went down, we talked about this. He's at 15-1. The on-off splits have only gotten better in his favor, Stormy. And at 15-1, I would predict that he is going to start to climb a little bit here. But worth mentioning the tie with Wembanyama today against the Pacers. The fact that he is out today, not looking good for his awards prospects.
That price, by the way, for Chet Holmgren that JVT is talking about, for those of you that are not watching on the video side of things, minus 200. So big odds on number already at this point in the season for Chet. A team that can't seem to do anything but win, but lose, against the Spurs is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are a massive favorite today against the Golden State Warriors, 14.5, total 223.5. Is that too many, or what should people know about this one?
Yeah, I wanted to point this game out because of the injury report here for the Golden State Warriors. It's not really looking good. They're pretty thin here today. Jimmy Butler not going to play. Steph Curry not going to play. Draymond Green not going to play. Al Horford is going to be available, but their core here, Golden State, not going to be available in a home game here against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So this number's pretty high at 14.5. You could do with them what you will with your trio not being available, but this looks like it could be a pretty ugly game for Golden State. And for Oklahoma City, I mean, we've talked about them a lot. Obviously, you go back to the times in which they were losing those games to the San Antonio Spurs. But for OKC, if you look at it coming into this game, they've won three straight now. They've won, or should be covered two out of the last three since this little stretch they were against San Antonio. They're starting to flex their muscles a little bit. Covered as 14.5-point favorites against the 76ers. Covered as 16-point favorites against the Portland Trailblazers. I would expect that Oklahoma City is going to be in a pretty good position to get this done. Numbers right where I think it should be with all these absences. But worth pointing out, if you're wondering why the market moved the way it did, the trio, specifically the two big guys, but Green, Curry, and Butler aren't going to play tonight.
I know there are a handful more games that you still have interest in on tonight's card, but anything you want to hit here in the last 90 seconds?
Yeah, we'll have more on this in best bets. I like 12.5 with the Cavaliers. I think you can make an argument 13.5 still playable. There's a couple of 14s popping up here. So Denver, as we know, doesn't have Nikola Jokic. Also does not have Cam Johnson. Also does not have Aaron Gordon. Also does not have Christian Brown. So they're down four starters the other night, Stormy. And then they go out to Toronto and they win the game outright as 6.5-point underdogs without like a massive performance from Jamal Murray. But I think that we're going to start to see this bottom fall out, especially against a team like Cleveland. Everybody was freaking out about the Cavaliers for a while because things really hadn't looked so sharp. But that's when they weren't healthy. They're starting to get healthier now. They're starting to kind of get it together. Dismantled the San Antonio Spurs the other day. I think this is a matchup where we finally start to see the true form, if you will, of the Cleveland Cavaliers, or excuse me, of the Denver Nuggets with all of these injuries. So give me Cleveland. Again, I like 12.5. I think 13.5 is still playable. They've covered 4 out of 5, and their offense is really starting to move it.
Total in that game also sitting 239.5. Okay, good stuff. On that note, we will have more NBA, like you said, at the end of the hour when we get to our best bets. But when we return back to the NFL, because despite it being week 18 and a lot of teams with nothing to play for, there is still a lot on the line that we need to discuss. Most notably, of course, Sunday Night Football, the Steelers and Ravens going head to head. We've got some marquee players with some injury updates. We will get you keyed up on when we return here on Money Moves. Don't go anywhere. We are right here, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keeping tabs on this Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Texas State up 24-7 right now, and this is a game that spread closed 17.5, so we're sitting right on the 17 right now. Can Texas State pull away with about 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter? And remember, we've got previews of this game and all of our bowl games up at VSiN.com. Start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. Come join us. Get unlimited access to everything we do here at the network. This is the final week, though, to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. You sign up now, you get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes all of our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from the CFP, the NFL postseason. March Madness and the Masters are also going to be here before you know it. Plus, Steve Mackinnon's power rating, so much more. Give yourself an edge as you kick off the new year. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And that reminds me, JVT, I have been saying Happy New Year to people today. Today's the last day to do that, right? Like, if you haven't seen them yet, the day after New Year's Day is still acceptable to say that. But beyond that, are we done?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, like, the first, like, 5 days or so. But I generally, yeah, like, I'm the first day. If somebody does, I'll ignore them. You actually wished me Happy New Year's twice. I know you're very busy, but we were texting the last couple of days, and two times you said Happy New Year's to me, and I ignored the second one because I was just like, we already had this discussion. We don't need to do this
again. I'm
just
trying to be nice, you know? And I think the first one was in a group chat, so it was like an overarching Happy New Year.
I don't know. I just know you told me twice, and I was like, I'm ignoring the second one, so.
Well, I hope it went well for you, rude. You know what is really the conundrum here, though? What's the over-under on time spent before you actually write the correct year on, like, different documents and stuff? Because I know as soon as I logged into my rundown today, I still wrote 2025.
That depends. I'm sure that a lot of people can attribute to this or attest to this. Excuse me. When you were in school, that was a pain in the rear end because, right, like, you were back in class, like, you know what I mean, the next week or whatever it was, and you had to put your dates on papers every single time. I'm a big budgeter. So, like, my budget, I put the dates of all the things that I spend. So I got used to it pretty quick, moving to 2026. First couple of entries, no, but then after that, I was right to it. So I'm generally pretty good at moving on.
Oh, man. You're better than I in more ways than one, but at least in this issue. Like, I feel like it's probably going to take me about a month. By the way, if you guys ever want to join in on the conversation, tweet at us, at me, JVT, at Storm Bonantoni. I do not budget. I just hope for the best, and that's kind of how I operate. But you also, you have kids. You've got, like, a lot more stuff going on. You have multiple jobs. You have more jobs than me. People think I have a lot of jobs. You have more jobs than me.
Is that true? I think that's not true. I think I have two jobs.
You have two jobs, and you do freelance stuff, and you go to school.
Oh, yeah, those things. Okay, I guess. Sure.
I think that counts as a job. You're pursuing a master's degree, dude. That counts as a job.
Okay.
That said, the Steelers and Ravens got a job on deck for them. Sunday Night Football coming up this weekend. The AFC North in the balance. Winner is in. Loser is done for the year. And we've got some big injury updates to get to here. Lamar Jackson expected to play. Been a full participant this week for the first time in what feels like forever. Told reporters 100% he's going to be on the field. By all accounts, it appears like he's supposedly the healthiest he's been in a while after missing last week with the back contusion. And on the other side of this thing for the Steelers, TJ Watt has been working his way back from that partially collapsed lungs. There was some optimism earlier in the week that he would go, and that is what we are hearing straight from the horse's mouth. He's ready to go, and his defensive coordinator said earlier this week, not sure in what capacity it's going to look like in terms of how much he's out there on the field, but that he's ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I'm tempted to just go. To me, it would be Baltimore or nothing. I'll just get that out right now. I don't really have a dog in the fight right now. But I think the fact that Lamar practiced every single day this week for the first time, I think that is an indicator that he is indeed what he says he is, which is the healthiest he's been all year long. If there is a scenario in that that is true, and then all of a sudden we get kind of MVP-esque Lamar where he's ripping runs, he's pulling on read options, he's actually getting the corner, and he's gashing off some explosive runs as well, helping this offense look a little bit more explosive than it has all year long. And I think that there's a chance that we can get that here against the Steelers. You mentioned the more important aspect, I think, of this game, too. Look, Aaron Rodgers had three games where he was playing relatively well from week 14 to week 16. It was against this Baltimore team. It was also against Miami and Detroit. Not exactly a who's who of stellar defenses that Aaron Rodgers looked his best against. And even still, Stormy, since week 10, he has been a bottom half of the league quarterback by many different metrics. And we're coming off of a performance again against Cleveland on the road. Average depth of target was fine, but it was 6.2 yards downfield. Not that many explosives. Everything looked disjointed. Why am I supposed to trust that an Aaron Rodgers performance is going to come out here and all of a sudden look much more like the one at Baltimore in week 14 when the reality is these pass catchers are thin? I think he's starting to wear down a little bit here, and the other quarterback might be as healthy as he is all year long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. And I did think it was a little bit interesting, though. I thought that we might see a little bit of more line movement in favor of the Ravens after this news became official with Lamar Jackson. But I guess it was just fully baked into that point for the Steelers. You mentioned that pass catching group being thin. Yes, obviously no DK Metcalf with the suspension, but no Darnell Washington, who has become a favorite target of Aaron Rodgers as well from the tight end group. Calvin Austin, questionable as well. So just keep tabs on all of that here as we go. Again, 3.5, that prevailing number. Total 41.5 with a lot on the line. Going to be a fun one on Sunday Night Football. You also have been keeping tabs on the injury reports. This is a day where we get a lot of that news coming across on social media. So you want to kind of run through a handful of the items you've seen?
Yeah, excuse me for not being entertaining here. This will just be a list read, but for our audience, somewhat valuable information. All right, Rams, running back Kyren Williams listed as questionable. Sean McVay says that he will likely play. Tight end Tyler Higbee as well, expected to be activated off IR in advance of Sunday. We mentioned this earlier, but to reiterate for our audience, there was some excitement that guard Robert Hunt would be back for the Carolina Panthers. He will not. He's not going to be activated. Sauce Gardner is officially out Sunday for the Indianapolis Colts. Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Lions, trending in the right direction, Dan Campbell told the media. Right way to play, but does not feel good about having Penei Sewell on the field for the Lions, who are taking on the Chicago Bears. Let's see. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, we got that. He's practicing in full. Mike Vrabel on the odds of Will Campbell and Milton Williams returning for the Patriots on Sunday. Quote, it looks good. So, looks like we're going to get those two out there. However, longer list for the Patriots, the guys who won't be out there, Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, Jared Wilson, and Tonga are all not going to be available here for the New England Patriots this weekend. So that's kind of the list of guys that have at least stuck out right now. Of the notable ones, too, I mean, look, the Lions, I think this is a pretty interesting game. Really have nothing to play for. Sewell's not going to be out there. Protection has been a very big issue for Jared Goff, Stormy, as we know, throughout this entire year. And now one of his tackles not available against the Bears, who are playing for the 2 seed in the NFC, but got smoked by this Lions team a few weeks back. So really fascinating dynamic. But at the very least, Jared Goff, who has been under duress all year long, will have a shorthanded offensive line once again.
And for a Lions offense that has largely struggled to run the football as well. Like, how many times have you wanted to bet Jahmyr Gibbs on something, just not been able to get there? 3-point spread in that game, Detroit, a dog on the road, total 50.5. And I know we, this time of year, talk a lot about incentives and what could be on the line for a respective player. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to bring this up again. I brought it up to you earlier this week.
No.
The Caleb Williams factor of trying to get to 4,000 yards. Should we expect a big passing day for him against this poor secondary in Detroit?
Well, I mean, I think you can, right? But I don't know if that's the goal. I mean, if you had two goals, what's more important, the 2 seed or getting 4,000 yards for the first time, right? So I think that while that might be possible just because of the opponent you're facing, I don't know if this is going to be a situation where they're going to push for it here. I'm going to be really interested to see, though, if this is pretty much a good litmus test. I mean, this Bears team, kind of to what we're talking about here, Caleb Williams is slowly improving. It was a loss, so I feel like I can say this without hurting your feelings. Picked your secondary apart last week against the San Francisco 49ers, has slowly looked better as a passer. Well, here you go. You gave up 52 points the last time you played this team, and you got smoked. Yeah. This is a good test to see, is as you enter the postseason as a division winner and a home team, how much better have you gotten? And I would assume that you can push to get that record potentially, to get over 4,000. 270 yards, though, is a lot for a team that does want to run the ball every time they step onto a football field, though.
How about our sweat for MVP? This week you've got the Patriots hosting the Miami Dolphins and the Rams against the Arizona Cardinals, where Sean McVay has said, you know, he's going to have the starters in there. It's important for them to play and be trending upward as they go into the postseason. Yep. Anything there for those two passers that we're sweating out?
I mean, I'm just more morbidly curious than anything else. Like, what do both coaches do? I mean, you look at Vrabel, and you would assume they're going to be scoreboard watching to an extent to find out what's going on. And if the Broncos are getting smoked, look, we have tons of examples. The Packers are one. Last year, the Packers played in a meaningless game that was only seeding on the line, and they suffered a couple of injuries in that game. I don't know if Vrabel's going to deem that an MVP in a game that means nothing is going to be worth risking the health of some of these guys. So maybe there's a chance that Drake May, if he doesn't perform in a big way in this first half, if he's just going to have a quiet, mundane game and then get out of there in a game that doesn't mean that much. And on the flip side, Sean McVay sounded pissed after that Atlanta Falcons game. I think they're going to try to run some stuff and get just some good vibes. They might not try to win this award for Stafford, but I do think they want to go out and potentially win this game, given the way that they're ending the season, coming into this game having lost 3 out of 5. Contest.
I'm with you. The Rams, an 8.5-point favorite there against the Cardinals, total 46.5. And you mentioned the seeding. Should New England win and Denver loses, the Patriots get the one seed in the AFC. Denver is, however, a really big favorite, laying 12.5 against the Chargers. They win that game. They get the one seed in the AFC. Okay, we got to step aside. Best bets and wrapping things up next on Money Moves with Stormy and JVT.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're cruising, already wrapping up hour two here. Money Moves as we welcome you back to the program, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Cross country today. I'm out here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky at the Circus Sportsbook. JVT's out at the Circus Sportsbook back home in Vegas, where I'll be back there on Tuesday. We'll get there soon. Got the FCS Championship game coming up in Nashville on Monday, which I will make sure that I join you on Monday as well to preview that game. Montana State, 10-point favorite in that one against Illinois State. That said, yesterday I was on the sideline for the Orange Bowl with Oregon and Texas Tech, where you appeared to cash in, JVT, as we hit our Thursday betting recap. What did you do yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even get the best of the number, at least pre-flop, right? Oregon minus one. They eventually closed as about a 1.5-point dog, but never really a sweat, kind of. Oregon gets there against Texas Tech. The two in the NBA split them. Heat Pistons under 237.5. Mavericks plus, I think I have 8.5 there. That's a typo on my end. They were catching 2.5 against the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't even think they would have covered 8.5. So either way, a day in which the NBA play split got there with Oregon. A lot of in-game stuff, too, is actually sweating it out. We were talking about this because that game started at 9 o'clock local time. So got here early, was watching it here, and doubled down on Oregon in the middle of the game because my whole point was they should be kicking this team's ass. So went in on a little money line as well, and it got a little sweaty because I was like, boy, oh boy, I'm going to regret this. Ultimately, they get there, though. So with that, some plays for today, if we want to list them off really quickly, and what we have going forward. NFL, we can expand on this a little bit if you'd like. Curious your thoughts. I told Gil Alexander this earlier today. I am a Tanner McKee truther. I am one of those that says that Tanner McKee can be a starting quarterback somewhere. The 6'6" freak in Lincoln Green, I think, can get it done here against the Washington Commanders. Commanders are really thin. I think the number is now up to 11 guys that they expected to be starters for them this year, all not playing, all injured. You have another injury along the offensive line that's going to affect them here in this contest, too. Do look out. That was one of the injury notes that I forgot to tell you about, Stormy. Jalen Carter popped up. He is on the injury report today for practice, so that's going to be something worth noting for Philly. But either way, I think Tanner McKee is good enough to get this done against the Commanders, who don't have anything. So Eagles minus four, and I did it. I added it. Give me the Indiana Hoosiers minus four. I think we might be in the midst of a UConn-esque run. I don't love what I saw from Oregon in these first two rounds, and I think if you sit there and play around, a team like Indiana is not going to give you a chance to get back into that game. So we'll have more on this as we get closer to the semifinals, but give me Indiana minus four, and then two in the NBA tonight. One we talked about, Cavaliers minus 12.5 against the Nuggets. Nuggets, of course, down four starters. Did get a win in their first game without Nikola Jokic. That was against the Toronto Raptors. This Cavs team's playing really good basketball. Have covered 4 out of 5. Starting to get healthier. Offense is looking good. And then give me the Grizzlies plus 4. We're down to 3.5. I think that's still playable in this spot. And I'm sure a couple of fours will pop back up here in this game, too, if you want to go and grab those. But this Lakers team, little injured today, then I think that's going to matter. Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, all out. Jared Vanderbilt got upgraded to probable. That's fine. But I don't think the guard talent that the Grizzlies have in this backcourt with a bad Lakers defense that has been the worst over a month now in the association, I think I can trust the Grizzlies to not only stay inside of this number, potentially win tonight out there in L.A.
Right on. That semifinal game with Indiana and Oregon, I do think is going to be fascinating. If for nothing else than just the coaches' press conferences and the sound bites I'm sure we're going to get throughout the course of next week, it's going to be
Do you want to put a bottle
awesome.
Of Malort on it?
I would rather not. I would rather. And listen, we talked about this. That Malort was not that bad, but I never want that aftertaste again. It's not, I mean, it's not good either.
You know, it's a good thing that you're out this week. You can ask the crew.
Why?
What have I been doing each, like, the last 2 days, forcing everybody here to drink it? So the bottle's actually almost empty because I've been forcing almost everybody that works for us to give it a try at least once.
You can't waste it. You spent the money. You bought the bottle. It still does the job when all said and done. So at least you're sharing the wealth. That's very kind of you.
Only 30%,
really grateful.
Though. Somewhat disappointing. Yeah, 30% ABV. You know that I think Sam Adams released a beer that is 30%. So that's the next thing I have to get my hands on to give it a shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know? I didn't know this until recently that Cutwaters, you're actually supposed to cut with water. That's like the purpose of the name. You're not just supposed to drink it pure.
Really?
Yes.
I had
no idea about this. That is what everyone tells you. You're supposed to water them down.
So I'm supposed to get a white Russian and cut it with water? That sounds disgusting.
Listen, I don't know how it works. I've never had the white Russian one specifically, but the espresso martini one I am very partial to, and it's got a very high ABV, and they say you're supposed to put water in it.
Have you had a white Russian?
Something I'll never do. A real one, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had one for the first time last football season. Absolutely incredible.
Really? That was your first time? Oh, yeah. I've been firing those off for a long time.
Famously, I had never had one before, and then Mitch Moss and I over at the Westgate Superbook, about five white Russians later, I tried them for the first time. It was absolutely tremendous. Although it's a lot of cream, man. Yeah. If you're going hard on the white Russians, that's a lot.
You can only drink so many of them. That's very true. But my father at the holidays was always really big on white Russians and Colorado Bulldogs. Those were kind of his drinks of special that he would make for everybody. It's got like Coke in it, and so it is kind of like a Coke float type of a thing. Yeah, right. It's really good though.
I'm just going to say, at me, JVT, send me all your terrible liquors. I'll try all of them. Continue.
We're going to have a backpack full of them. By the way, you need to be more careful with your backpack. You can't just be throwing that thing willy-nilly around the studio with a full glass bottle in it.
Point.
I'm just saying. As for my recap, earlier this week did Miami plus the 9.5, and that worked out nicely. I was even texting you about it during the game, like, please don't mess this up. But that ends up getting through. Kudos to them making it to the semifinal. We'll see what they can do from here on out, keeping our national championship tickets alive as well. But as for moving into this weekend, I haven't made any official plays or picks on the college football playoff yet. Just a couple of leans on the dogs, but who knows? You might be talking me out of them as we go through here. I did, however, play a dog in the National Football League. I'm ready to get hurt again. The Carolina Panthers on Saturday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're giving me a full three. Let's roll with it. I do not think the Bucs are any good. I'm just going to say it, and I'm probably going to eat my words, and it's going to be a gross Saturday that I'm going to have to sit here in Nashville with my husband and watch that game with him just screaming at the television at the bar. But they are the worst ATS team in the NFL this season, 5-11 against the spread on the year. They are riding the longest active no cover streak in the NFL, 8 straight games they have failed to cover, 1-6 ATS at home. They've got injuries. They've got inconsistency, inefficient on offense. The defense is bad. And listen, Carolina's got a whole hell of a lot of issues too, and they can't seem to win a high leverage game to save their life. Yet I feel like when all is said and done, come Saturday afternoon, the Panthers are finally going to get it done. You're giving me a full field goal. I just don't feel like the number is right. Let's see what Carolina can do.
This will not affect the line, but it's not like the best news for you, so I would like to just see your reaction to this. As of a couple of minutes ago, Kalijah Kancey is officially active for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. Well, he's going to be rusty.
Okay. Yeah, hasn't played since week 2. Yeah.
I don't love it. We thought that he would have a chance, but yes, you're right. He has been practicing all week. The thought was he was probably going to play. He and Tristan Wirfs, obviously very key pieces to what this team has wanted to be. I don't know. I think that this should be Carolina's day. And if for nothing else, JVT, the winning every other week since week 7 factor should at least be on my side this week.
Well, you sound very confident, so I'm sure that confidence will translate to it.
I'm mad at myself already for betting it. I did an entire call me crazy, but why do I bet the Carolina Panthers every week? And yes, I know that was primarily them in the favorites role, and I'm never going to do that again, or at least not for a long time. But they're a 3-point dog. Come on. Is Tampa that good?
I would say no. I mean, I don't think there's that much separating these two. I think it should probably be a pick. So I would tend to agree with you in the realm of at least what are you going to pick in this game? I'd rather be on the Carolina Panthers. That's for sure. By the way, can I note,
all right,
this is not official. I'm waiting to see where this number gets to. The week 18 is all about playing some of these overreactions, some of these ugly spots. I will say right now, if it gets there, because we're starting to inch in that direction, if you give me 10 points, I will trust Clayton Tune and the Green Bay Packers against the Minnesota Vikings. We're at 9.5 across the board.
I felt so bad for him that the first pass that he gets this season gets tipped and intercepted. So unfair to him. I'm a Tune believer. You were talking earlier about being a Tanner McKee truther. I am a Clayton Tune truther. Let's go.
Yeah,
plus
you and
nine
his mother.
And a half, the current number, by the way, for Green Bay, total 37.5. We are the only ones. Nice kid. I covered
would
him.
Would you rather trust
really
Clayton Tune, or would you rather pay Brendan Sorsby $5 million to be the starting quarterback for
what
your college
What are we
program?
Doing with that, by the way? What are, like, it's getting out of hand. By the way, Brendan Sorsby, as he is in the transfer portal, will not be playing in the game today against Navy. That is a game I was looking at in terms of the total. Got bet up a little bit too much for your girl. It's at 57.5. When it was 55.5, I was considering it. I think that's probably the right side of this thing, even with a little bit of rain. Cincinnati has so many opt-outs in this one, especially on the back end defensively for a defense that's already really bad. Navy's defense isn't anything to write home about either. So I feel like we're going to get some points in that one. Full flip of favorites. Cincinnati opened laying 6.5. They're now getting 7.5 for that one today. All right, that's a wrap for us. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Good luck with your bets. And for the last time, JVT, Happy New Year. You're welcome, buddy. Have a great day.
You too.